You may be seated. I just want to take a couple minutes just to introduce our guest preacher for this morning. And now, about a year ago, the Haynes family began to attend our church. And over the past year, I got to get to know Trevor. And it became immediately apparent to me, and say more than just me, but other, that he is a man who has wisdom and a humility. And even though he has like knowledge and experience, he doesn't necessarily seek to front himself. And it's just like almost reluctantly offering just the wisdom and insight that the Lord gives him. And I also noticed that he's a man who is passionate and has experienced all that community can mean for a person, how it can transform us, that we're, you know, community, and a Christian community is one that can, well, is necessary and also powerful in taking us from, well, where we are to where God has called us to be, both individually and collectively. And several months ago, well, one thing kind of became clear to me that, you know, with our relaunching of some small groups, and that there's a greater investment that was needed. Someone who has gifts and passion and wisdom and experience to help lead, you know, our leaders of small groups, to take our groups from you know, what they can be, which can, and I'm not suggesting this is your group, but small groups can be sometimes shallow, either, you know, in teaching or in service or in community and fellowship, and sometimes it can become routine. And we want to take this ministry that has so much potential and make sure that potential is realized. And prayerfully, you know, Trevor and came to mind as somebody who has both the, you know, the gifts and the experience, as someone who had spent years in pastoral ministry to lead such a ministry. I posed it to him, and he, you know, and prayerfully he you know, considered it and ultimately graciously accepted it. And so he's going to be serving in this new role as a small group coach, if you will, because we want our small group ministries to really thrive, and we want those who are participating in them to grow deep in community together. And so he graciously accepted it, and I thought it was appropriate, as we're going through this series on community and finding life together, that he would proclaim the word of God to us. I'm excited to be able to sit under you as he proclaims through the power of the Spirit God's word for us here this morning. With that being said, I'm going to invite him up, and let's pray for this time of worship. Kind Father, come in might and power, we pray. As Trevor comes to proclaim and speak your word, we do ask that by your Spirit, that between each line that he preaches, that you would preach to us, that the living Christ would come in and make his presence and his word known to us, that within our hearts that we would hear the word, that we would be challenged or encouraged or both of all that you're calling us to do and to be as your people. In all things, Lord, that we pray that this time would be to your glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that your name would be lifted high, we pray, in the wonderful and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, good morning. That's what you look like. Well, it's good to see so many smiling faces, and thanks for that introduction, Aaron. Thanks for the opportunity to share God's word with God's people. And I just want to begin by just thanking you. As Aaron said, it's been a year since our families first visited Grace Bible Church, and it's just been an amazing experience for all of us. Thanks for the way in which you've welcomed us, reached out to us, gotten to know our names, even though we really don't know many of your names. But we're going to get to to remembering names better. It's just been amazing to see how each one of us kind of has a spot where we fit in. You might not notice that, but we notice that. And we're just amazed by what God's done through you. And what you don't realize is the many ways you've greeted us or talked to us or welcomed us or whatever you've done, God's spoken to us and God's welcomed us. And we feel very much feel a part of the life here. So thank you very much for reaching out to us. We are going to continue our series, our friendship series. But before we look at that, just one thing I must mention that I noticed from probably the first day we were here when we went down to Sunday school. We noticed that there's some unrest here, some unsettledness. And what I've discovered is you have a heart for Jesus. You love Jesus. And there is a desire in you not to remain where you are, not to just be hearers of the word, but also doers of the word. And there is an unsettledness about you that I really appreciate and I love. When we get down and to the Sunday school, the questions, the interactions, there's a desire to know the Lord, and I am excited about that. And I hope you are too. So if you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm going to ask you, I know it's going to be up here, but there are Bibles there, and sorry, I don't know the page like Aaron does. I'm not as up on the Bible as Aaron is. He knows exactly which page to direct you to. I don't know. But if you could turn to 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to be covering verse 1 to 11. I'm going to be spending most of the time in verse 7, but we're going to look at the whole passage to begin with. So we're talking about friendship, right? Friends are good, right? We all like friends, don't we? Many of my memories, good memories, are to do with friends, and maybe yours are too. I have so many memories where I've done things with my friends, and whenever we get together, we end up reminiscing and joking about our friendship and the times we spent together. But there are times in my life when I've had no friends. And that's no fun, is it? It's no fun to not have friends. See, there is a self-satisfaction that comes from friendship and from having friends. And there is an emptiness that comes with not having friends. But that's the experience of the world, isn't it? In the world's, in our culture's view of friendship, friendship is something through which we improve ourselves. We need people to get what we want from them. We improve ourselves. We become our better us by using our friends to get what we want. And that's the cultural view of friendship. So it becomes a case where we do things with people that we want to do. We only participate in the things we like. We gravitate towards the people we think are worthy of our friendship or we want something from. And we exclude people we don't really like or we really don't think we want anything from. And that's the cultural view of friendship, isn't it? But if we're honest, our church experience can be similar, can't it? In churches, we can have popular groups, popular people that always seem to be connected. It's fun to be with them. And then there could be others who are disconnected and never seem to be able to break into the popular groups. And so we can have churches where We have connected people and disconnected people. And what we want to ask ourselves is that okay? Should that be a normal part of church life? That's important to us, isn't it? Because we're hoping new people come and join our church, right? We want them to stay. Well, what do we want them to experience when it comes to friendship? Aaron talked about small groups, and I am really excited about small groups. Small groups, I believe, are one of the key ways in which the church grows. That in a small group, we are able to encounter the living Jesus and be transformed by him as we meet together. So we'll be talking more about that in due course. But what do we want our small groups to look like? Well, I think this passage here helps us to make sense of that question. So let's read 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So as we talk this morning, I believe what we're going to see is that God has called us and equipped us to be ministers to one another. God has called us and equipped us to be ministers to one another. And I'm going to make three simple points. And the first one is this: God has called us to be ministers to one another. God has called us to be ministers to one another. Look at verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In verse 7, we find out that every Christian's been given a part to play for the common good. That's your ministry. You've been given a part to play for the common good. And in verse 5, we see that your ministry, your part, involves services and activities. Verse 6. You've been given a part to play. You have activities and services that the Holy Spirit's given you to perform. Now, I want to ask you a question. Who's excluded in that? No one, right? Everybody's included. What does that mean? It means that we all have activities and services that the Holy Spirit wants to use us for, to do. And we have gifts with which to do them. Everyone here has activities and services apportioned by the Holy Spirit. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that everyone here is important. Each person here is important. We're all called to minister, as ministers, to minister to one another. That means I need you, and you need me. Everyone is important. That means that Grace, Bible Church, we cannot settle for a cultural approach to friendship. We cannot. We cannot have friendships where we are at the center, because we are called to minister to one another. Our view of friendship has to be different to the world. And our life, the friendships we have, need to be different. You see, we need to move from friendships based on self-satisfaction, self-gratification, and fun, which are fine. I'm not saying our friendships shouldn't be fun. We need to, those are important, but we don't settle just for that. We need to move our friendships beyond that to the place where we are able to minister to one another. We're all called to be ministers to one another. So, I'm going to ask you to do something uncomfortable. Right? Ready? Look around. Just look around at each other. That's really hard, right? Right? Some people you're cool with looking at, but some people you're not. It's uncomfortable. Why? Well, because you don't know them. Right? Listen, you're called to minister to the people you're comfortable with and the people you're uncomfortable with. No one escapes. We're all included. I was speaking to, or I was attending something recently, and I heard this comment. This person said, on this trip, I met someone who had been at the church for 8 years, and I had never talked to them. So going away on this trip meant I got the opportunity to talk to them. Hang on. Is that okay? Is it okay that we attend church for 8 years and don't talk to each other? What kind of friendship is that? How many times have they been together in 8 years? 8 times 52. Whoever's good at math, figure it out. Plus other activities, and you've never talked to each other. See, listen. If the Holy Spirit's calling you to minister to that person, how are you going to do it if you don't know them? See, we've got to change that, right? That can't be common in our church. Otherwise, it'll be very difficult to minister to one another. One of the purposes of small groups will be to enable us to get to know each other, to be comfortable with each other so we can minister to each other. So that's the first point. God calls us to be ministers to one another. Second point is, God has equipped us to minister to one another. God has equipped us to minister to one another. Look at verse 7. Paul says, each person has been given a gift. Look at verse 11. The Holy Spirit has apportioned gifts to one another, to each person as he wills. You see, God hasn't just called us to as ministers. He's equipped us with gifts for ministry. Again, who's excluded here? No one. We're all included. We all have gifts. Listen, if you're a Christian this morning, if you have put your trust in Jesus, if you are holding on to him, and when he comes, you will be with him, then he has given you and equipped you, given you gifts and equipped you for ministry. Gifts that are designed to serve others. Gifts that whenever we gather together, he wants to use in you to bless someone else. You see, in a culture, we're trained to focus on ourselves, what I need, what I want. And we can come to church just like that. What do I need? What do I want? What can I get out of it? But you see, the Holy Spirit calls us not to focus on ourselves, but to focus on each other. And consider, what does that person need? How can I meet their needs? You see, God has called us to serve, and he's given us gifts to serve. That doesn't sound like fun, does it? I mean, I know the church, we're a church full of servants. That there are many ministries that you guys diligently take care of. Even now, as we're relaxing up here, people are downstairs serving, right? This is a church of servants. And being able to, and talking to you about serving isn't kind of much fun, right? You mean there's more serving to do, Trevor? Haven't I done enough? Don't you know how hard I work? That really, listen, on Sunday, I don't have energy to serve. Or do you know how many hours I do? Are you expecting me to give more time? I mean, those are real issues, right? And maybe you're thinking that this morning. Well, if you are, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to take a closer look at what Paul is saying here. See, if we look at the gifts, and I'm not going to go into the gifts here. That's something for the elders and to decide when we talk about the gifts. So I'm not going to talk about them, but I want you to look at them. What do you notice about the gifts? That means you should be looking at the gifts in your Bible to see what I'm referring to. Right, if you look at the gifts, you'll notice that they are spiritual in nature and not natural. They are spiritual gifts, not natural gifts. So what Paul is talking about here is spiritual gifts. Why are they spiritual? Well, because the body of Christ has spiritual needs. See, when we're reborn, and if you're a Christian, you're reborn, you're born again. When we're reborn as spiritual beings. We come into the world as spiritual babies, right? And for the rest of our lives, we are called to grow up from being babies into maturity. As Paul puts it in Ephesians 4, to mature manhood. And when we're physical babies, we need our parents to help us grow, don't we? They take care of us, etc. When we're reborn, we're spiritual babies, we need God to help us to grow. He's our Father. And God comes to live in our hearts and to direct our spiritual growth so that we mature to personhood. Now, I have to tell you, I need to grow as a Christian. Don't you? I mean, I don't need any more physical growth, right? That's taken care of. But boy, do I need spiritual growth. I'll tell you something. Wednesday morning, I left with plenty of time to get to work, which is a nice feeling, right? You jump in the car, you think, wow, I got all this time. I'm going to arrive on time. I'll be set. I'm full of the joy of the Lord. Everything is going well. it is well with my soul. And I hit the road, all the traffic lights are saying green. Until this car pulls out in front and joins the line of traffic. And all of a sudden, we start to slow down to the speed limit. Just to let you know, I was simply following the other cars. So we begin to slow down, follow the speed limit, and then all of a sudden we begin to hit red lights. And the purpose of red lights, I don't really agree with. You know? I mean, I observe them, but normally when you anticipate a red light, it's for one reason, right? It's to get through it, right? Before it changes. Well, this person's anticipating the light so they can stop. Can you imagine that? And so after several lights, I realize, you know what? I'm going to be late to work. And I began to feel some feelings. Some feelings that I haven't felt for a while. And so I'm getting angrier and angrier in the car. And we get to a light and the person is looking at me and I'm looking at them, hoping that they understand, let's move a little faster. But there's some words in my mind. Words that I used to use years ago. That I thought, you know what, I've even forgotten those words. Guess what? The words are in my mind. Do you know what I'm talking about? And I'm thinking, wow, I'm glad I'm in the car. I'm glad I can't get out and talk to this person because it might not be pleasant. Do you have days like those? And you don't. So it's just me. Listen, I have some growing to do. You have some growing to do. We have some growing to do, don't we? You see, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Peace. I was not very peaceful. I'm glad I was in my car. It's patience. I was not very patient. I didn't have the grace to understand, hey, listen, God's in control. He's going to get you there. He knows what's going on. Be patient. Trust. Right? Kindness. Well, I remember kindness now. It was out of my mind then. Etc. You know what I mean? Listen, we have growing to do as Christians. Right? We've got to grow from spiritual babies to being like Christ. And that's why the Holy Spirit's in us, to direct our growth. But God doesn't just work in us, right? He also works through us, doesn't he? He does stuff in me independently and in you, but sometimes he uses others, doesn't he, to help us to grow. A while ago, one of my children, I'm not going to embarrass them by saying which one, one of my children and I observed something. Someone was treated, we thought, in an uncaring way. And I felt sorry for the person, and they felt sorry for the person. But there's nothing we could do about it. We left later that day. We talked about it. Said, hey, you know, that wasn't very good. And I thought, well, hey, that's how it goes sometimes, right? And off I went. Well, about a week later, my child said to me, hey, Dad, guess what happened? I said, what? He said, I bumped into that person. Oh, you did? Yeah, I had been praying for them, right? I had been praying because I felt really sorry for them, and I asked the Lord to meet them. And guess what? I bumped into them today, and I was able to share with them that I was sorry that they experienced what they experienced. And the person was so touched. It was as if God had spoken to them. You see, sometimes God works in us, and sometimes he works through others. And that's why he gives us gifts, because he's got work to do through you in others. That's why we have gifts. And God equips us with gifts to minister to one another. That's point two. Point three, God wants to empower our ministry to one another. God wants to empower our ministry to one another. Verse 6, there are varieties of spirits, verse 6, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. And then again in verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same God. Now, the word empowered means activity or energy. And it applies to activity or energy that can start something in someone and then drive it through to completion. So it starts it, and it gives it the energy to get it to where it wants to be. That's the term here, empowered. And what Paul's conveying here is, listen, the Holy Spirit initiates, compels, and directs us towards others to work in them for the result he's looking for. In other words, the Holy Spirit is driving us towards a destination. And the destination here, we see in verse 7, is the common good. Well, what does that mean? What does the common good mean? Anyone? No one? Go on, be brave. What does the common good mean? The good of everyone, right? So the Holy Spirit drives us to the common good of everyone. What does he mean by that? Does he mean that the Holy Spirit gives us gifts so that at church, everyone can enjoy, everyone is equal and can equally benefit from what's going on? Well, sure. That's the common good, right? We're all equal, and church should be a place where everyone benefits equally. Perhaps that's what he's saying, right? And, you know, the world tries its best to, in all its institutions, to take care of everyone equally, but it always fails, right? There's always discontent somewhere. And maybe Paul's saying, hey, in church, it shouldn't be like that. Everybody should have equal benefit and be treated the same. And we would agree that, at the very least, that's what church should be like, right? But is that what he's saying? Isn't that really just God?
So I think this is something that when Paul says the common good, they know exactly what he's talking about. But let's see if we can figure it out. In chapter 10, verse 23, Paul is responding to a question from them, right? And you just have to trust me on this. We could talk about it later. In verse 24, he says, "Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor." What's he talking about there? Well, he's talking about how the Spirit would lead us to solve this problem. Then he goes down. He works through, if we follow the Spirit, this is the outcome of this problem. And then he gets down to verse 31. He says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Do all to the glory of God. What he's saying is, listen, if you follow the Spirit, he will lead you to the glory of God. And so if we take the glory of God and we put it into a verse 7, here's how it reads in chapter 12. "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the glory of God." The manifestation of the Spirit for the glory of God. You see, I think what Paul's talking about here is the common good is the glory of God. The common good is the glory of God. And God gives us gifts because God is concerned with the glory of God. You see, when we become a Christian, when we're reborn, we stop being the center of our world, and God becomes the center of our world. And rather than living for the glory of myself, I live for the glory of God. Everything we do is about the glory of God. This morning is about the glory of God. Yes. It's about logistics and time and organization. But it's more than that, isn't it? It's about the glory of God. That when Jesus saves us, when we're reborn, he allows us, he brings us into participating in the glory of God. Before I was a Christian, I didn't care about the glory of God. I was only caring about myself. I was separated from God, bereft of his glory. But now I'm saved. I am caught up in the glory of God. That I don't just get to observe it, but I get to participate in bringing him glory. Isn't that great? We're people who've been caught up in the glory of God. But we don't just get to worship here and participate in his glory. We get to He involves us in his work where he transforms each one of us for his glory. That's why we have these gifts, that we can aid people, our brothers and sisters, our friends, in growing in Christ-likeness for the glory of God. Isn't that great? Don't you want to do that? Don't you want to participate in God's glory, in bringing him glory? Listen, I live for my own glory. That's how I grew up. I was only concerned about me. But you know what? There was someone who was more concerned about me than me. That was Jesus. And he, while I was going my own way, he rescued me. He saved me. And he drew me to himself, opened my eyes to see him, that my life is nothing compared to his. In fact, it's only leading to destruction. And if I turn from him, I turn from sin, I can live with him and enjoy and participate in his glory. That's the hope we have, brothers and sisters. That's what God's called us to. That's why he's equipped us as ministers to participate in helping one another grow for his glory. Is that attractive? Do you want to do that? Do we want to do that? I mean, look at your friends around you. It's great to be friends with them. It's great to have fun together. But wouldn't it be greater to glorify God together? To grow together in Christian love and ministry? Just imagine a church full of people who are growing, flourishing, being transformed by the grace of God. That's what he holds out for us. How am I doing for time? All right. Well, we're going to stop there. We're going to do this we're going to talk about this more in small groups. I hope you're excited about growing. And I think you'll become excited about small groups also. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you that you didn't just leave us in sin and misery, but you rescued us, Lord. And you called us into your family to be your children, to grow and to look like you. That's the hope we have, Lord, as we live this Christian life. We thank you that you, Holy Spirit, transform us. You will continue to transform us. In Jesus' name, amen.